Tonight we have another installment of our question and answer class. Just a quick infomercial. Since we started it, we've answered quite a few questions, and I'm running out of questions. So I haven't asked in a while, but if you have maybe two or three left in the hopper to spin out, but if you have some questions that you think would be interesting, or questions you don't think would be interesting, I don't guess I can be biased, questions of any sort, let me know, and we can see if we can work those in some way as we can. What's been interesting about doing a question and answer class is that the topics don't necessarily just generate out of my head, so it's things that somebody else was interested in, which is helpful because I don't always know what you're curious about, and you have diverse interests and questions. Sometimes you have very biblically based question, like here's a verse of the Bible, what does this mean kind of question. Keith asked me one of those a minute ago, so now I've got another question to add. And then some of you have more how do I think about this topic questions, and that's kind of what tonight's is. It's not directly a verse-for-verse type question, but it's what is a Christian supposed to do with this topic kind of issue. So we'll dive into that tonight. Tonight's question, why does it seem like there is so much religious violence? Or put another way, does religion create violence? Okay. Why does it seem like there is so much religious violence? Does religion create violence? And that's one of the popularized claims of the last few decades, especially after 9/11. That kind of got teeth, as in other words, that some people said, well, Islam is violent, but then other people said, all you religious crazies are violent, right? That was the other interpretation of that, that maybe there's just something about religion that makes people go out and kill each other, okay? So, for example, on the screen, on the top picture, has to do with ISIS and executing Christians. But the bottom picture, well, it's not actually a photo of the Crusades because there were no photographs during the Crusades, but a photograph of the reenactment of the Crusades. So you think about the Crusades in the Middle Ages, people with crosses going out and fighting, and quite a lot of violence took place during that. And there are lots of other episodes we could pick from history. Witch trials probably weren't Christians' best moment in history. We put a lot of people to death for a scant bit of evidence. Might have been some witches back there, but mostly we were just burning people. Catholic history. If you don't agree with the Catholic hierarchy, they had a tendency to execute you, right? And there was a fair bit of that that went on. So Christians aren't immune to this complaint. I just want to say that up front, that it's not just an issue where you say, well, Muslims. Well, okay, Muslims. But historically, there's plenty enough Christian violence to go around if you want to think of it that way. So Sam Harris is one of today's most famous atheistic experts on the question of morality. Now, if you want to read something fascinating, try to read an atheist who's explaining morality. Well, Sam Harris tries really hard. I don't think he does it, but he tries really hard. But when he's not complaining about how to do morality, he's complaining about how Christians do morality. And he had this statement in a book a little while back. He says, it is taboo in our society to criticize a person's religious faith. By the way, I think that's funny because people criticize my faith all the time, but never mind. He says, it's taboo in our society to criticize a person's religious faith. These taboos are offensive, deeply unreasonable, but worse than that, they are getting people killed. This is really my concern. My concern is that our religions, the diversity of our religious doctrines, is going to get us killed. I'm worried that our religious discourse, our religious beliefs, are ultimately incompatible with civilization. Right? The religion's just going to get us all killed. And what he means by that is what? Religious people like have really strong convictions. Is that true? Well, you hope so. Right? What's the point otherwise? So yeah, they have really strong convictions, and they feel like they should act on those convictions. Is that true? Yep. Not everybody has the same convictions, though. Is that true? So sometimes we have to do something about that. And when that happens, historically, a lot of times that gets violent. That's his argument. So he says his view of history is every time we go off and kill somebody, there's probably religion behind that somewhere. And that's what the problem is. If we could just get smart enough to leave religion fully behind, we wouldn't have all of this religious violence and killing and so forth. Now, again, to be fair, He has no idea how to do that. If you read his books on morality, it's like, okay, so what are we going to do for right and wrong in a world without religion? He's got ideas that don't make any sense to me whatsoever, or to anybody else. But for what it's worth, this part has become very popular. Even if you don't know anything else he says about what the answer is, the problem is popular. You know, those religious folks, they're always killing people. That's the problem. And there seems to be some kind of anecdotal evidence that says it's right. When you think about terrorism, which is certainly violence, what causes the terrorism we're familiar with in the United States? The thing that comes to mind is religion, right? A religion in particular, but what comes to mind is religion, okay? So let's try to tackle this and see if Sam Harris is right about anything. And the first thing we got to do is figure out what these words mean we keep using. I've asked you this before. It's one of my favorite questions to ask because it's a lot of fun. I want you to try to define the word religion for me. Okay, I'm going to actually make you say this out loud in a second, so start thinking. I want you to try to give me a definition of religion that includes everything you think is a religion, but excludes all the crazy stuff that doesn't count as a religion. And my conclusion is it ain't easy, but I want you to give it a shot. Somebody give me an idea of what you think a religion is. And I know it when I see it is not an adequate definition, right? Yeah. Worshipping something above yourself. Does that sound like a pretty good definition? Okay. Do Buddhists worship something above themselves? Actually not. Buddhists do not believe there is a reality beyond themselves. The goal of Buddhism is to actually empty yourself of reality. Buddhists don't believe in a supreme being, for example. And so they don't worship in the sense that we think of worship. They meditate, but not to find God, but to find peace and kind of nothingness, right? To get in tune with the universe. But there's nothing. Is Buddhism a religion? Well, sounds like it. But it doesn't have a supreme being or something up here that we worship. That's kind of weird. Now, this is a funny thing. Buddhists don't have a god per se, but they have idols. Now, isn't that funny? You think one would be connected to the other. So they do have images of Buddha that they take very, very seriously. I had a professor tell me the other day he got to visit a Buddhist monastery off in another country, and one of the giant statue, like the hand of the statue is like the size of your head, right? And there's actually a chain that goes up, and above it is a literal fan. And if you want, you can pull and fan the Buddha because he might be warm. And then as you sit there throughout the day, people would come by with cups of water and pour water on the Buddha because he might be hot. Right? So like they believe that this somehow represents the person, Buddha, who was the first of the great people to really understand the universe. But Buddha's not a god. They're kind to him. They like the idol. But at the same time, you can't worship him because they think he's not a god. In fact, there is no such thing as God. So how's that? Have an idol and not have a god? That's kind of backwards, but yeah. So Buddhism, it's kind of weird. How do you write a definition for religion that includes Buddhism? Because, like, first thing, with something or someone higher than us, Buddhism says no. Nothing out there. Anybody else want to take a swing at it? I'll try not to embarrass you too bad. Yes. An organized system of belief is a religion. An organized system of belief. What do you think? Yeah. What about like atheistic evolution that by definition says we're not a religion? Do they have an organized system of things they believe? What about my dad's belief that the New York Yankees are the best sports franchise to have ever existed? And he is aware, he religiously watches their games. He knows when they come on. He knows who's on their roster. He knows who has been on their roster since Mickey Mantle and can give you the details, right? I mean, he is devoted. I don't think it's a false religion, but you get my point, right? We have other things in our society that are organized and have systems of belief, and we say, well, those aren't religions, but these are. And that's kind of interesting. Go to a Comic-Con convention, and they can talk to you about the ins and outs of Star Trek. Dalton can do that. The ins and outs of Star Trek, or you know, your favorite comic, and tell you who all the characters are. They can tell you the logic behind it and in which episode certain things happen. And they have a clear set of devotion. They spend money on it. They get together at routine times to celebrate it. But we say, well, that's not a religion. Kind of looks like it. I don't know. Somebody told me one time, I'll jump to a couple of them. Somebody said, well, religion has to have ceremonies. And I said, have you ever been to an OU game? I mean, it doesn't start until the guy with the big floppy hat runs across the field, right? There's a whole routine. The band does this. The drum major does this. The announcer says this. The guys with the guns do this. The horses and the schooner come out. There's a routine, and the game doesn't start until you've done it. There's a ceremony. But most of us would only kiddingly say that's a religion. You know, we don't seriously think there is a Soonerite religion and a Cowboyite religion, and a, you know, one of those would be better than the other, Tom. But it just we don't say that, right? So what's my point? It's really hard to define religion in a way that explains what we usually mean by it in modern terms. What we usually mean is there is some category up here called religions. And in that are these species, like, okay, Islam, religion. Buddhism, religion. Christianity, Judaism. Maybe Shinto, maybe Confucianism, or maybe Hinduism, that's got to be one, right? Maybe Native American tribalism, okay, probably that one. And you have, okay, it's kind of those things, you know it where you see it, but you say, what is it? I don't know, religion, right? Right? My point is, it's really hard to define. So when you tell me religion causes violence, but you can't tell me for sure which things count as religion, like I can't even define it, already I've got a little bit of a problem, don't I? So, for example, let me give you the ancient definition of religion. Religion, the word, comes to us from Latin, from a really complicated Latin word, religio. You knew that one, you didn't even know you knew it, right? Latin word for religion is mostly religion, okay? But the word just meant habitual piety or virtue. Doing good things over and over again. And that was all the word meant. In fact, Thomas Aquinas in the medieval period will say, every deed, insofar as it is done in God's honor, belongs to religion. Like everything. If you were farming your field, and you were doing it habitually and virtuously, then that was good religion. That's what the word meant in the medieval period and even before that. Within religion, there were two different categories. So your priest engaged in sacred religion. He'd do the mass or the communion and what have you, right? And then the farmer and the governor and the tax collector and the soldier, they did secular religion. Isn't that funny? In our culture, we couldn't say secular religion. There's secular and then there's religion. But in the medieval period, if you did ordinary things, but you did it well, with duty and honor and virtue and integrity, that was your secular religion. Everybody, everything you did, they called religion. It was just a word that meant piety. They didn't use the word the way we do. They would never have discussed a non-religious person. How could you even be that? Because everybody does something. How does James, let me get to you in just a second, James chapter 1 gives a biblical definition of the word religion. And what does it say about religion? Yeah. Pure religion, it has to do with visiting widows and orphans, and then some moral bit about don't do bad stuff, keep yourself unspotted from the world. What's missing from that definition? It didn't even say about God. You have a book in the Bible that defines the word religion and doesn't even use the word God except to say, this is what God considers religion. Pure religion before God and the Father is this. But the definition is, treat people nice, don't do bad stuff. And he calls that, that's how we define the word religion. It's a much more broad definition. Okay? There's not even any doctrine in that. One of the difficulties, and we like to teach the book of James, one of the difficulties of reading the book of James is the gospel isn't in the book of James. If all you had was the five chapters of James, you wouldn't know anything about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It never comes up. He's talking about how to live a life with it. Now, he assumes it, I think, to be honest with you. Okay, it's in the Bible for a reason. James believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But in his book, he's just trying to tell you how to live a life of piety and good character. Something he calls religion. Pure religion is act like this. So he wouldn't have thought the way we do of religion is like the system of beliefs. He would have had to have a different word for that. For him, religion was being a decent human being. When did we stop thinking that way? Jim, you had a comment on me before I move on. What were you going to say? That's the kind, yeah. If that's kind of the last place where we still use it that way. If somebody does something consistently and dependably, we'll say he does it religiously. Like going to church on Sunday, right? And we don't mean he has a system of belief or that's attached to some transcendent God. We just mean, boy, that's how he lives his life. Religio. Okay? Where does that change in history? Where that changes is during the period of history we call the Enlightenment, where people started challenging the belief in God, and they wanted to separate the life they wanted to talk about from God. So they would write about, we can do morality without religio. I don't need a priest to tell me what's right and wrong. When that decision comes about in morality and ethics, that's when those terms, for the first time in human history, get separated. It's a political term. We would like a secular state that doesn't have an official religion. Now, if you had said that sentence to somebody in the 1400s, they'd thought you'd lost your mind. How can you have a government without a religion? Religion's the government. That's what it is. You can't divide them. But we thought, you know, it'd be really nice if we could just get religion out of government, and we thought of them as separate things. That's a fairly modern distinction. Our country's actually built on it to a degree, right? Our founding fathers were not atheists, but they were pretty emphatic that there was supposed to be some distinction. There wasn't a church hierarchy that ran the government, that there was some distinction. We wouldn't establish an official religion. They encouraged people to be religious at that time, maybe not now. At that time, they encouraged people to be religious, but they didn't want an official religion to sit on top of the government. Okay? That's a fairly novel modern idea that ancient people didn't think that. James would never have thought that way. Okay? So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they couldn't, you know, it's one of those things, if you start thinking like a Christian, you can't turn it off, right? And so you have Christian ideals throughout a lot of the founding documents, even while they were trying to say, well, let's not make it a church state, but, right? And it became a very difficult thing. It was a difficult needle to thread. Some of them were more antagonistic to religion than others. Thomas Jefferson, not a Christian hero, right? George Washington, pretty decent fellow. Tom Jefferson, not so much. And so because more than one person had their input in on it, at times you see distinct Christian ideals, and then sometimes you say, where'd that go from? That wasn't Christian. Okay, so what about religious violence then? Now that I've messed up the word religion for you, what's religious violence? First question, how do you know why violence happens? This is, and I don't want to get just overly political, one of my concerns about modern discussions of the word hate crime is because it assumes that I can know the psychology of the person who committed a crime. I do think some crimes are worse than others because of their motive. I'm not sure I can always know what their motive was. Does that make sense? And so that's a tricky thing to me. But we do it all the time, apparently. We talk about religious violence. Well, which ones are those? If a man who is a Christian kills a man who is a Muslim, was that an act of religious violence? How would you know? All you can do is ask him. And even if he tells you, you have to assume he's sane, which, by the way, is not always the case. Right? You have to assume that answer makes any sense. Why do people do violence? Well, huh? To get their way. Yeah. On that first slide where I had the Crusades, I almost put the Klan up there instead. Because that's an interesting example of people that the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK, thought of themselves in very deeply religious terms and still do. Okay? Is that an example of religious violence? Well, it depends on which one you ask. They might try to explain it to you in religious terms. But when you get down to it, it ain't because of Jesus, right? I mean, there's nothing about, they're not going to turn into you and say, here in Matthew it says to go hang black people, right? That they're not going to do that. Ultimately, there was something else. There was fear of people who were different than them, concerns about how it would affect their culture, and a million of the other bigoted, crazy things people think. But they might do it while holding a cross, right? So do I count that as religious violence? I don't want to blame Jesus for that one. I could say the same thing about the Nazis. If you want a fascinating study that'll turn your stomach, study the Christian influence on the Nazis in Nazi Germany. We have pictures of bishops in the Lutheran Church in Germany shaking hands with Hitler, slapping him on the back. We got pictures of Lutheran cathedrals with, there's the communion, there's the cross, and there's the swastika hanging down above it, right? That in their mind, there was a close connection between what Hitler was doing and what Jesus would want. That is scary. Kittel, there's a Gerhard Kittel, wrote Theological Dictionary of the Old Testament. The Hebrew text in my office, the original first edition, was written by Kittel. That's the one thing he's famous for. The other thing he's famous for is Kittel is the guy who suggested to Hitler, we might need an ultimate solution to the Jewish problem in Germany. He was the one who suggested we may have to come up with a plan of systematizing ghettos and concentration camps to deal with Jews in Germany. He's an Old Testament scholar. He literally wrote the dictionary of Old Testament. So are you going to blame Christianity for that one? Do you think Hitler was motivated by Christian ideals? See, I don't think we get to blame religion for that one. I think Hitler might have been a madman who really wanted to conquer the world. I think you might just have to say there was evil at work, and was he happy to do it under a cross? Yeah. People like that. If you're religious, your war looks a lot better. You don't have to call it warring and pillaging if you do it under a religious symbol. You can say our gods want us to do this. And so throughout human history, people who want to do terrible things to make themselves feel better and to win the support of others have hijacked religious symbols and ideals to do that. And those are the worst case scenarios. There are even kind of neutral scenarios. I'm going to give you an example, and please, I know I just talked about Hitler, so I'm going to pivot now. This is not a Hitler conversation. This is also slightly political, so don't throw anything at me, okay? I can duck really fast, but not that fast. I want to give you an example that I just want you to be open-minded about so I can make a point, and then you can ignore it later. Here's my question. If you asked 100 people across the globe, not 100 people in a red state or a blue state, I mean just 100 people across the face of the earth, this question, why did George W. Bush invade Iraq? What are some of the answers you would get? Some people, again, there's a very cynical view that said that was about oil. I remember I was at the University of Oklahoma. You know, the colleges are the bastions of conservative thought, right? No. I mean, so I was at a college, you know, doing, and while that initial set of wars was going on in Iraq. And what do you think my sociology professors were saying? This is about money and capitalistic greed and oil, right? I didn't agree, but that was their point of view. What was another interpretation? They had threatened his dad. This is family business. This is about taking care of Bush number one, right? That's what this is. This is Texas get evenism is what it is. So we had people saying that. What else do people say? Weapons of mass. I mean, that was the official answer, right? We go to the UN. We say this is about a concern about weapons of mass destruction. And then there's some concern about, you know, how does that work out? What was another? What if you had asked someone in Iran or Iraq why that was happening? Huh? It was the Christians coming to get us like they always do. Folks, if you ask an Iranian about what's going on in world politics, all the wars are religious wars. They're going to tell you this was a Christian nation invading a Muslim nation. Now, who's right? I have an answer. Mine's right, by the way. But the point is, you couldn't prove it anyway. So does that count on our chart when we're making our chart of here's all the acts of religious violence in the world? If you ask someone from Iran, they say, yep, there they go. Crazy Christians off killing people again. You ask somebody else, it's about capitalism. So my point is, when somebody says it's obvious that all this religion causes all these violent acts, it's never simple. It's never simple. Do religious people do terrible things? Yep. But people who don't believe in religion do terrible things too. What would be the proof of that? Let me show you one of my favorite charts, because everyone should love charts as much as I do. Here's a little chart. You can all see that perfectly, right? Each dot on this chart, so the far left side is the year, let me make sure I got it right, is the year 1500. Far right of the chart is the year 2000. Every circle represents a war in world history. And then the further they go up, the more people died in that war. So low-grade conflict are down there at the bottom. Big conflict up there at the top. Okay? What's interesting about this chart? Yeah. This is the year 1700 when the Enlightenment gets started and we start forming secular nations that are not built on religion. So, for example, American Revolution, about right there. Okay. Which side of the chart is more violent? The part where we had God in the government or the part where we got God out of the government? First off, you'd say, well, it seems like there's plenty of killing on both sides, to be perfectly fair. We definitely didn't make the world peaceful. In fact, you could argue we made it worse. Okay, for example, I'll use my little clicker on this one over here if I can. This dot right here is the worst war before the modern era. This is the 30 Years' War. Trivia question, see how smart you are. How long did the 30 Years' War last? Good job. You guys are so smart. Okay. And it's up here in, you know, just irrationally high numbers. For ancient warfare, a lot of people died in the 30 Years' War. Okay. And yet that is still smaller than World War I or World War II. World War I took 4 years and killed more people by far than were killed in the whole 30 years of the 30 Years' War. These two circles by themselves, I know it's hard to tell because this is, I'm sorry, I'm going to nerd out for just a second. This is a logarithmic chart, so this is increasing by factors of 10 as you go up the chart. Okay, now back to sense. These circles here could fit every person that died in all the rest of the chart previous to that. The 20th century was one of the most violent centuries in human history. We killed a lot of people, and we didn't do it in the name of God. In the 20th century, were our wars religious wars? Was World War I about religion? And there's like not even an argument you could make that would say it was religious. Was World War II religious? Not even close. Korean War, religious? Vietnam, unless you're going to expand the word religion to mean differences in political strategy, you can't even try to make those religious. And yet, a lot of people died. We got really good at killing people in the 20th century. All the while, we were distancing ourselves from religion. Why? Because religion's so violent. How'd that work out for us? We have not made the world a better place. Science hasn't saved the world. Okay? So let me try to answer a few questions. Question one, have Christians used faith as an excuse for violence? Yes, of course. I can go a step further. Stop that. Right? That's not something we should be doing. Don't hold up a religious symbol and say, now it's okay to kill somebody else. That's not okay, especially if you're a Christian. There might be, that's another question for another night, a religion out there where it is more okay. But if you're going to subscribe to Christianity, there is no way you get out of Christian doctrine from the teachings of Jesus justification to go out and hurt other people. It's just not in there. Okay? More about that in a second. Can faith and convictions we have by faith create violence? Yeah. But only in the sense that everything does. What are these two people arguing about, you think? Now, this guy's wearing clerical robes. Isn't this a religious dispute? They're arguing about Little League baseball. And she's about to knock him out. It could be religious, right? Yeah. Sure, it turns out if you care about things, you get passionate about it. And if you get passionate about it, sometimes people get violent. But if there's anything human history teaches us, we didn't need any excuse for that. That's like the first lesson of Genesis, right? We sin, humanity goes crazy, and God destroys us. What's his explanation of why humanity needs wiped out? They filled the earth with violence. Turns out we didn't really need an excuse. Any conviction you have can be used as an excuse to hurt other people. That's not unique. The only alternative is just not believe in anything. Turns out people fight over that too. But that's the alternative. And that's a crazy world too. Is violence increased by religion? I'm going to say this, hard to say, but probably not. And here's my data for that. Again, I want to look at the last 20 years. Is communism a religion? The way it has been practiced in the 20th century, it is avowedly atheistic, right? Every communist regime that we've ever known has said, there is no God, step one. Okay, were they peaceful? 65 million killed in the People's Republic of China, 30 million killed by the Soviet Unions, 2 million in Cambodia, 2 million in North Korea, 1.7 million in Africa, 1.5 million in Afghanistan, 1 million in the Eastern European bloc, 1 million in Vietnam, 150,000 at least in Latin America and counting. In the 100 years, there are about 100 million people killed by communism that, by definition, said we're not religious. Which religion are you going to blame for that one? It turns out getting rid of religion didn't make us good people, did it? The decidedly atheistic systems of government were the most violent regimes of the 20th century. In fact, I would even go so far as to say this. Whatever you want to blame for all the wars of human history, it might be religion was holding us back a little. That because people were religious, they never became quite as bad as they could have been. But when you build a government and say from day one there is no God, you find out what people are capable of. That 65 million people killed in China, those are Chinese people. That's self-death. The Soviets killed were Soviets. They're not even bothering to kill other people. It's themselves. Atheism didn't fix violence. That's not the way it works. And then finally, a final question then, the question you're probably asking, is violence increased by Christianity? And to that, I think I finally can give a definitive answer. And I would say, if you mean that in just normal sense of the terms, the answer is impossible. There's nothing intrinsic to Christianity that says go hurt anybody. Okay? Can we read? Let's start with the first book of the New Testament, the first sermon Jesus ever preaches. Matthew chapter 5, 38 to 42. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. That's a tough passage. It really is. I'm not entirely sure I understand it. Okay? All my cards on the table there. What do I know about it? There is no rational way you can read that passage and say, you know what Jesus really wants? He wants me to go hurt some people. There's no way you can read the teachings of Jesus and say, yep, that's where the violence started. Do people who claim to follow Jesus do terrible things? All the time. But I don't think you get to blame the man who said that for stuff we do. Because there's not an inch of violence in there. I mean, in fact, let me go a step further. When you read the teachings of Jesus, you have a problem justifying any violence at all. Like, Christian ethicists really struggle. Can you believe what Jesus said and be in law enforcement or join the military? I think there's an answer to that. But do you understand? Those are the questions you'd ask from that, not the other ones. How many people can we kill? Right? With Jesus, you would ask the questions, can we ever use force? That's the hard question. When you read Jesus, you never come away with, oh boy, we get to get him now. You just never get that from anything Jesus says. To the point, there's one scene where people mistreat the disciples and they say, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? And they are excited, right? Apocalypse is coming down from the sky. And Jesus says, no, we don't do that. That's not how this is going to work. Shake the dust off your feet, move on. But we're not going to call down lightning from the sky to smite our enemies. Not the way it works. So in just a strict reading, if you define Christianity as the system of beliefs based on the teachings of Jesus of Christ, you can't blame Christianity for any kind of violence. You can blame Christians because we're bad at it. Okay? You know the old quote from Gandhi? Gandhi said, I like your Bible and I like your Christ. I'm not so sure about your Christians. Right? And there's something to that, right? We never live up to it. We're never what we're supposed to be. But you don't get to blame Jesus for that. Does that make sense? Okay. Probably the toughest one would be the Crusades, like historically. Is that an example of Christians going to war just because of Christianity? And that history is a mess. When you look at the history of the Crusades, there's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of politics involved. There's a lot of money changing hands. Here's a surprise for some of you. People kill each other over money. And you don't need a cross to do it, right? And it turns out if somebody's got stuff and you want it, people will take it. People are terrible, okay? And that's probably more of what's going on in the Crusades than it is religion. But sure enough, they were wearing crosses on their chest, so we have to at least talk about that. They were being blessed by priests as they went out to rape and pillage. We have to talk about that. But I don't think you get to blame Jesus. I don't think you read anything in the teachings of Jesus that says go rape and pillage. Okay? Does that answer all the questions about violence? The answer is no. So what I want to do in 2 weeks, I think, Randy, you're next week, right? In 2 weeks, I'm going to answer a related but separate question. What about violence in the Bible? Okay. It's really convenient when I could say, well, the Crusades were when people said they were Christians and were terrible people, right? I can kind of get rid of that. But when I'm reading Joshua and God says, go kill all the Amalekites and kill their babies, I can't blame that one on the Catholics or something, right? I can't say, well, we just messed up. So that one's actually harder. But as far as like the next 2,000 years of human history, no, I don't think you can blame Jesus for any violence. But in 2 weeks, I do want to come back to the question of, do some awful, violent things happen in the Bible? Yeah, it turns out they do. Sometimes it sounds like God said to do it. What should we think about that? I'm going to need more than 40 minutes for that one. So we'll put a pin in that. Are there any questions on the first question? Does religion make people violent? Everyone understands everything perfectly. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry? Yeah, I think it's a lot easier to say, as a Christian, you say, we believe in evil. We believe evil even works on people that try to be good. I would much rather make sense of it by saying evil is to blame than the best person who ever lived is to blame for the worst things that ever happened. That doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. Even if you're an atheist and you don't believe in God, nobody looks at Jesus and says, boy, he's just a violent person. The worst you can say about Jesus is he's a pretty nice guy. Now, you can't blame history's worth of atrocities on him. And in fact, as Christians, we believe he's a lot more than a pretty nice guy, don't we? But at the least, he's that. Yeah. Hitler, here's your last thought, and I'll let you go. One more Hitler comment. Hitler accepted the praise of Christians in Germany. Hitler didn't like Jesus. Hitler, in his writings, said he found Jesus to be a very bad role model for German young men because he was just downright feminine. He was nice to people. He was kind. He let other people hurt him, and he didn't fight back. That's not what a good German should act like. And so he wasn't a fan of Jesus. That tell you anything about what kind of person Jesus is? Yeah, he's not the kind of person Hitler likes. I'm okay with that. All right, y'all are done. Thank you.